You'd better watch out. You'd better not cry. You'd better not pout, and I'm telling you why. Someone a lot meaner than Santa Claus is coming. Now, I'll admit that that is not the original text of that song. It is, if you look at the apparatus of the lyrics, under the CJ for conjecture, and I'm afraid conjecture by Berglund, the way that Habakkuk might have written it had he had a hand in editing it. He's making a list, he's checking it twice, he's going to find out who's naughty or naughty. Yes, that also is an emendation that I think Habakkuk would have made, because as he addressed the people of God at the time of Jeremiah, there were no nice ones. And that which was coming was not Santa Claus. As he opens his dialogue in three short chapters, he complains to the Lord, our prophet Habakkuk. He lays before the Lord this complaint that as he looks around him, everybody is so very naughty. There is violence, there is destruction behind it, idolatry and immorality, that the people of God somehow have lost God and have lost his call and have lost their identity. And all you find amongst the people of God is exploitation and use, the abuse of others as a resource for their own wealth and welfare. And he calls to God for justice. How long, O God, will you look upon these people and not take recompense? And God says, relax. I've got it figured out. I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, that cruel and strong people whose horses are swifter than leopards. And he draws a picture of this army that he will bring forth under Nebuchadnezzar to punish his people. The second complaint of Habakkuk the prophet goes this: how can you, a righteous God, O Lord, then use these more unrighteous people to punish the less unrighteous people? And God says, don't worry, I got that figured out too. I'll kill the Chaldeans as well. Well, this is some Christmas gift. Jerusalem dies, and Babylon, the murderer of Jerusalem, dies as well. In all this death, who then shall live? And in the fourth verse, there is the smallest snippet of hope. But the righteous shall live by his faith. Except that the righteous seems to be a standard that none of us can attain to. As God defines righteousness in the righteous man in chapter 18 of Ezekiel, also a contemporary of Habakkuk, he says the righteous man is one who doesn't go upon the high places or indulge in the feasts of Baal and Asherah. The righteous man is one who, in short, keeps the first table of the law, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Furthermore, the righteous man, says the Lord through Ezekiel, the righteous man is one who follows the second table of the law, honoring his neighbor's wife, and also making sure that his neighbor is well cared for, returning his pledge, the collateral cloak that you might take it if you loan money out to somebody, not charging interest. That is the man, that righteous man, who has kept the second table to love your neighbor as yourself. This man, says God in Ezekiel 18, this is the righteous man who will live. And we take a look at Habakkuk in chapter 2, 4, and say, if this is the standard for life in the midst of death, who then shall live? We look at ourselves. What are we so concerned with in life? Other people's welfare? Are we concerned for our neighbor's health and well-being? Are we so concerned for others that we might be said to keep the second table of the law, much less the first? And if we listen to Habakkuk's Christmas carol, we, like the people of Jerusalem, will have nothing to do but despair, except for the fact that there is one righteous. There is one whose Christmas birth we celebrate. A righteous man born under the law of a woman in order to redeem the unrighteous. And the irony of all this is that as God becomes man manifest, that as he lives out the law righteously, loving the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and mind, loving his neighbor even more than himself, this one righteous man does not live but dies. And yea, the righteous man shall die. And that's exactly what this righteous man does on Calvary. On that Friday afternoon, is nailed to the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous, God for us, in our place under the law as a man. 3 days later, the prophecy is true. He lives. The righteous man rises. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why, because one so much better than Santa Claus is coming. This same righteous man who died and who rose and who lives again. The same righteous man who provides for us a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, as Paul will use this in Romans and in Galatians from Habakkuk 2. This one righteous one comes to us. And he comes to us not bearing punishment, for he has taken that on himself. He comes to us not bearing gifts of luxury and wealth for our own satiation and material satisfaction. But he comes with the best possible gift of all. Life. He comes to us whom he has declared by faith to be righteous. The righteous man. And in him we, the righteous people of God, will live.